Bold City Sports Talk with Rob Mossio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Bold City Sports Talk. My name is Rob. Benjamin is out for this podcast. I'm running this one solo. He is currently in RV City. Benny, have fun out there. Best of luck. And if I could give you any piece of advice, don't say the wrong thing to the wrong person out there. It's it can be pretty rowdy, as I'm sure some of you would know. Let's jump into it. Today is the day, the morning of number 8 Georgia Bulldogs against number 6 Florida Gators in the Bold City, Jacksonville. They're playing at TIAA Bank. They're it's a 6-1 Bulldog team against a 7-1 Gator team. This is pretty much, again, one of those games everybody marks on their calendars. Is always a fun one, especially down here, down south, with the Florida-Georgia line. Game is at 3:30. Currently, as it looks as if we're going to have a nice, beautiful day for some football. 66-degree weather right around game time. That is going to be nice. Kind of take a little break from all that sunshine, especially since it's, you know, November 2nd and all. Which, by the way, fun fact, hottest Halloween in Jacksonville history the other day. Oh, there you go. College football had a couple games. Thursday, number 12 Baylor edged out West Virginia 17-14. Appalachian State, number 20, previously undefeated, not so much anymore. Georgia Southern takes them down on Thursday night, 24-21. Going into week 10, college football, even hard to believe, we are down to 8 undefeated teams. 8. We're looking at LSU, Bama, Ohio State, Clemson, Penn State, previously mentioned Baylor, and Minnesota, Southern Methodist, and that's it. Looking ahead into next week, we're going to be down one less team, 2 less teams even. You got Minnesota against Penn State next week. That'll be exciting. And we have what's going to be pretty much the matchup of the year, Alabama against LSU. It's been a fun one so far. It's only going to get better. College football has been an exciting season this year. It's only going to get better. Last night, Navy put the beat down on UConn, 56-10. Kind of a slow weekend for college football. Again, Florida-Georgia more or less is going to take the headlines with this one. We do have a couple potential upsets. Number 7, Oregon, going to USC. Never an easy place to win. Even if USC isn't doing all that much this year, that should be a fun one. And we do have number 15, Southern Methodist, SMU, going against number 24, Memphis. That's where game day is going to be today in Memphis. That should be a fun one as well. But other than that, kind of lacking. But number 9, Utah against Washington, that has potential. Miami, Florida State. That could be a sneaky fun game, TCU at Oklahoma State, but no name grabbers other than really Florida Georgia, which I think that's going to be a fun one. After looking at everything, final prediction for the scores, for the score of this one, I'm going 28-24. Florida edges out Georgia. I think their defense is better. I'm pretty sure everybody since Felipe Franks went out has been waiting for Florida to falter, and outside, you know, their loss against number 1 LSU, you know, in Death Valley, they've produced, you know. I've been impressed. I think Dan Mullen was the perfect hire for them, and I think he's doing great things for a team that really, you know, they've kind of been lackluster the past, I mean, geez, what, since probably Tim Tebow. So Jumping over to the baseball world, the Washington Nationals, and I think I'm speaking for everybody here, more or less, shocked the Houston Astros. That trend of all the away teams winning finished Game 7. Washington won 6-2. Grinke was throwing lights out. Max Scherzer was up to his old self. And they got the job done. Nationals took it, and again, you know, I shocked, completely shocked in this one, and even to the point where, I mean, the Nationals being up 2-0, I'm thinking to myself in the series, Nationals are up 2-0. I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is still, they're still playing on paper the better team in the Houston Astros, just littered with all-stars and future Hall of Famers. You know, and Zach Greinke's going, you're thinking to yourself, it's Game 7. You know, Game 7, you throw the kitchen sink, and you're thinking, okay, they still have who was the best pitcher in baseball this year, and Gerrit Cole. Max Scherzer had problems going in, you know, going into Game 6, and you kind of thought, you know, okay, it's at Houston. They're going to break this whole away thing, you know, the away team's winning. No, they didn't. Kind of a head scratcher. Astros skipper, AJ Hinch, decided not to go with Gerrit Cole after pulling Greinke in the top of the seventh. And that's where the Nationals took care of business. Three runs, top of the sixth, off, I want to say, Will Harris, relief pitcher for the Astros. Howie Kendrick, Jacksonville native, hit a pivotal two-run home run. Kind of just broke the doors open. The Nationals scored again in the eighth, scored two more in the ninth, and more or less, that was it. I mean, you could just tell in that ninth inning, and only being down 4-2, that Houston was, you know, they knew they were in it. They were still in the game, down 4-2. That you know, two-run lead in baseball doesn't mean anything in this whole quote-unquote juice ball era. And, man, Nationals scored when they had to, and you could just tell. After those two runs in the ninth, 6-2, and, you know, Astros still had at-bats in the bottom of the ninth, you could just tell from that crowd, those players on that field, that was it. They were shocked and didn't know how to respond, and three quick outs from the Nationals sealed the deal. 6-2, Nationals win it all. Now all next season, 2020, all we're going to hear is the World Series defending Washington Nationals. Get used to that, fellas, especially in the NL East. Oof, man. But again, as we've been saying this whole time, it's very interesting that Bryce Harper's not on this team, and he had been for as long as he had with the Nationals, and they lose him, and they win it all. With that, going to be interesting now with the World Series wrapping up. The Nationals are going to have their parade today, the World Series title parade. They're going to visit President Donald Trump on Monday at the White House, according to a White House official. That should be interesting, especially after Game 5 when the Washington crowd didn't really receive President Trump with open arms. So we'll see how that goes. With that as well, of course, now that the Nationals have wrapped things up, we get to talk about the free agent carousel that is. Saw a couple big names on both teams essentially looking to make money this offseason. Gerrit Cole has tweeted Thursday that essentially, adios, Houston, it's been fun, but I'm going to find a lot of money elsewhere. And he will. A lot of people are thinking he's a West Coast kid. They're thinking Joe Maddon makes his first big splash with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I think it'll be interesting. I think with the Yankees getting knocked out yet again in the playoffs, that they might ask him pull out the paycheck. What's it going to take? I wouldn't be shocked. I don't really think the Yankees are spending too much money. I think the Cubs are completely out of it due to all their bloated contracts. Phillies have got their man, quote unquote, with aforementioned Bryce Harper. I think a sneaky team to go get him, and I think it would make a lot of sense, is the Atlanta Braves. I know Liberty Media is not going to allow it. That's not their kind of signing. But man, Gerrit Cole would be the ace that the Braves essentially needed in that Game 5 against the Cardinals, and I think he'd be a great little fit. But if I had to take a stab, I'm going Yankees. Anthony Rendon, who hit pivotal home runs in both games 6 and 7, he'll be a free agent as well. I had heard the Texas Rangers would be a good fit for him, and that only makes sense. They have a young team. Rendon is a proven leader. You know, he's not. I think everybody knows who Anthony Rendon is now. He's not out of the spotlight anymore. He is smack dab in the middle of that spotlight. I think he's going to get paid a lot of money. I think he's a Gold Glover with a great bat. I think he's a smart baseball player. And it was only a matter of time until he was a household name, and he did that this year, and kudos to him. Steven Strasburg will more than likely opt out of his contract. I think he's owed $100 million. Oh, darn, that's not enough, I suppose. But I guess it makes sense. The one thing with Steven Strasburg that worries me, he's been injury-riddled. This is the first year he actually stayed healthy. And I don't know. I don't know what he's looking for, but maybe if the Yankees strike out, pun intended, on Gerrit Cole, maybe they go after Steven Strasburg. I think the Yankees are going to have to pull out the paycheck. I think they're going to have to pull out the checkbook here. And sign some pitcher. You can never have enough pitching in baseball. You just can't. And two big arms going into this thing. And it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be an exciting off-season. But as we have seen lately, these off-seasons take a while. You know, with Scott Boras essentially being, I want to say, the agents of all three of these players, he will wait. And as we had saw with Mr. Harper last year, they will wait until they hear the money that they want. And all three of them they're going to get paid. Free agents elsewhere. I know I was talking about the Atlanta Braves earlier. They're looking to get Donaldson back. I don't think another guy who's had a couple years now, injury-riddled season. I mean, how much money do you put into stock with that guy? I mean, he's on the wrong side of 30. Is he a great player? Yes. Did it seem like he kind of slowed down there at the end of the season? Yes. So, I don't know. With such a young team, I know you want to get your vets. I mean, again, look what the Nationals did along the way. Picked up, you know, some vets, Howie Kendrick. Without Howie Kendrick, the Nationals wouldn't have won the World Series. I mean, that's crazy to think, yes, but it happens. That's baseball, as they say. For the Brewers, it looks like they're going to lose out on Mike Moustakas, who's been on one-year deals with Milwaukee the last two seasons, and Yasmani Grandal, third baseman and catcher. I think they're going to be looking to get a nice little payday, not so much as a Strasburg, Cole, or Rendon, but, I mean, these are, you know, again, vets, good positions, and positions in need. And be interesting to see where they land, because they could easily turn a team around. And maybe if the Rangers do miss out on Rendon, maybe go and get a Mike Moustakas. Let's see, what do we got? We got the New York Mets made a hire here. Carlos Beltran will now be the new skipper for the New York Mets. And I think that's a really good hire. He played with the Mets, I want to say from 05 to 11, you know, knows the organization, has actually been with the New York Yankees as a coach the last two seasons, so he doesn't have too far to drive. So that'll be good. The Kansas City Royals went and got ex-Cardinal skipper Mike Matheny as a manager. So, you know, managers' roles are getting filled left and right. If I'm thinking correctly, I want to say the Giants are left. It'll be interesting to see who they get. It's of course sad to see the baseball season go, but I think we saw I think it ended on a great note. I think it was crazy enough was the third lowest World Series in broadcast viewership, but I mean I just feel like with the Nats going up 2-0, I think it kind of created a storyline for them to essentially take Game 7. I mean, it was just kind of one of those ones, and being honest, I wasn't too thrilled to watch the Nationals and Astros. I mean, and I think, you know, I think everybody kind of gave it up to Houston saying, oh, there's no way they're going to have any trouble with the Nats. But again, the Nats were underdogs and throughout the whole playoffs. Nobody gave them a chance, and they just were resilient. That's how, you know, good teams win the World Series. You almost kind of felt like Houston was, I don't know, just kind of lining themselves up for another ring, and that's not what happened. So, good way to end the 2019 season, and we're going to be without baseball here for a few months. So, NBA's really gearing up. I look like I'm going to be wrong about the Lakers this year. Los Angeles Lakers, they look pretty good. LeBron James and Anthony Davis now have them out to a 4-1 record. Anthony Davis already looks like an MVP candidate. The big question to this is, does he stay healthy, which is a huge problem. It's been a huge problem for them. And, you know, I think this has to be Anthony Davis's team. This isn't LeBron James's team anymore. And I don't think LeBron James, this doesn't matter to LeBron James. He got his rings. He just wants to continue playing basketball. He wants to be the voice of the NBA, which he has been doing for quite some time, and he's been doing a good job of it. But Anthony Davis, I mean, he's proven himself that he hasn't missed a beat. Even throughout the injuries in his career, he hasn't missed a beat, and it's a nice little tag team. But if you want to kind of, and people love doing this, situate roles, I think, you know, Anthony Davis is Batman and LeBron James is Robin. But again, I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters to LeBron James, as it shouldn't. He has his money. He has his rings. And you bring, you know, LA a championship, especially with all the talk with the Clippers this year, who I think look phenomenal and on paper and early on. I think Kawhi Leonard is come at the end of his career. I think we're talking about Kawhi Leonard being I don't know if I can say top 10, but I want to say top 20, maybe even top 15 player. If he brings a championship to the Clippers, man, I mean, yeah, he did one with the Spurs, and the Spurs were known for, you know, great teams. But he led, you know, he learned from probably one of the best coaches, of course, and Greg Popovich in San Antonio. He learned how to win. And when you get traded to Toronto, and in your first year in Toronto, you bring a championship to a team that has never even sniffed the finals, and then to potentially have the ability to do this in LA, oh man. You know, this is going to be an interesting year, and I think it's Kawhi Leonard's career is only going to get more and more fun to watch. And it's going to be a battle for LA this year. Early on, it looks like both these teams are ready to play again. 82-game season. It's a long it's long for these players, to the point where we see, you know, a lot of these stars sitting out every so often, you know, because of the fact of the toll that's taken on these guys' bodies. So it'll be, again, it'll be interesting. I think this NBA season is going to be fun. It's going to be a fun team. Unless if you're a Knicks fan, because it almost doesn't even matter who the, it doesn't seem to matter who the Knicks put on the court these days. It just, I just don't even want to get into it. For the NFL, we had our Thursday night game. The San Francisco 49ers stay undefeated, 8-0, edge out the Cardinals 28-25. Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, is my new favorite player. I think it's so funny. This is just typical NFL. You know, he had a rough preseason. Let me repeat that. He had a rough preseason. Everybody was ready to write him off after the second game of the preseason. He's throwing too many interceptions. He doesn't look accurate. This, this, and that. It's typical NFL. They just want to create storylines. They're making mountains out of molehills. It's preseason, folks. And now he's got San Francisco looking the best that they've looked in like two decades. Some people want to say, oh, it's not all Jimmy Garoppolo. But you know what? When this is, and again, this is typical NFL. This is just typical football. Quarterback can never seem to do anything right. They're 8-0. Well, it's not all his fault. Oh, okay. They're 0-8. Oh, it's the quarterback's fault. Look at Baker Mayfield. They want to hound him to the point where, you know, now OBJ is coming out and defending him. And I think that's probably the classiest move OBJ's ever done. And kudos to him for stepping up when they should. But, you know, the Browns have had a tough schedule. And I don't see this 2-5 team staying down for too much longer. They have some weaker opponents now kind of coming up. A lot of teams with backup quarterbacks as quarterbacks, and I wouldn't be shocked if the Browns start winning, but kudos to Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, not buying into all that negative hype in preseason, folks. Preseason. Come on. Preseason. Kudos to Garoppolo, and kudos to San Francisco, and they keep winning, and that's football. Just keep winning. The Jacksonville Jaguars taking on the Houston Texans in London this Sunday, 9:30 in the morning. Ooh, this should be fun. I think this is where the Jags could get retribution to losing to Houston. I want to say that was week two, going for that 2-point conversion, just missing by an inch. But I think this is a different Jaguar team. I think Gardner Minshew needs to start, even with Nick Foles potentially coming back. He's only practicing. I don't understand why we're so. Again, just I don't know. Maybe it's just football, you know, the NFL. But what are they going to do? If the Jaguars win this game, they've won the last two. If they win this game, they win three in a row. How do you take Minshew out of there? Yes, they're paying Nick Foles, but folks, this is the Jacksonville Jaguars. They need the wins. That's why even in week two, I was so bummed. Yeah, it would have been great. It would have been great if they would have gotten that 2-point conversion and taken that game in Houston. But the Jaguars need every win they can get. And they look like a better team. They could still use a little help. I had read something. Essentially, they didn't do anything in the trade deadline. I don't know if you knew this, but the NFL trade deadline has already passed. I mean, it was that just kind of blah this year. And I wish the Jaguars would have went and done something. I think they could have used a little more deep threat at wide receiver. They've been doing well. I really was a huge advocate for Chris Conley going into this season. He was great in Georgia. I thought that was kind of a godsend, and he really broke out last week. I want to say over 100 yards receiving. I think the Jaguars could have used just one more guy, and I thought a potential I had read was Robbie Anderson from the Jets. I thought that would have been a great downfield presence. And we'll see. I mean, this is the team they got. This is the team they're going to try to get into the playoffs with. I think that division is winnable at 4-4. This Texans matchup, I think this is pivotal for the Jaguars. They got to take this game. They got to take this game, and I think this will dictate the rest of their season. I think that defense is phenomenal. Yes, they're dealing with a lot of injuries, but hey, next man up. That's what we're preaching these days. And I think a kid that, yes, he's starting to garner some attention, but I think they just need to let this guy go. Go off, I should say, not let go, but to go off. Josh Allen, number 41 from Kentucky. That is a man. That is the definition of a man right there. That he and you know, as they say, he's just milking everything out of Calais Campbell. And I don't know, I couldn't think of another better person to be learning from. But he's already a freak in nature as it is, and it is going to happen. He's only going to get better, and I think people really need to start watching him. If you aren't, start watching him now. I'm sure there's plenty of people that already know of Josh Allen, but I think he's something special at the 7th pick. I couldn't believe he dropped that far. And I'm really excited. I'm really excited to watch his career, and I hope he stays a Jaguar for a really long time. The Seattle Seahawks claimed receiver Josh Gordon off of waivers. The Patriots had released him. After putting him on the IR, I guess teams are going to still continue giving him a chance. Yes, all the potential's there, but, you know, it just doesn't seem to ever work out for Josh Gordon. Reminds me a lot of Sammy Watkins, even after that one huge first week in Kansas City, and everybody was all riled up about that. He hasn't been able to duplicate anywhere close to that type of type of game. And Josh Gordon, again, just has all the talent in the world. He just, I don't know, you know, it just doesn't seem like he wants to put in the effort. And, you know, he does get the injuries, yes, but, like, I don't know, he just, I wish him the best. I think that was a nice little chance for Seattle to try to make something happen. And I mean, it's willing to, you know, it's worth a shot. Will it work out? Only time will tell. The Redskins, they're giving Dwayne Haskins the go-ahead here. He's going to be starting this week. He's going to be against a pretty stout Buffalo Bills defense. This should be very interesting. I feel like Bill Callahan doesn't really have anybody else to go to. Case Keenum is in the concussion protocol. Colt McCoy just, you know, he had it at Texas. Doesn't seem to have it so much in the NFL. You know, call him what you will. I mean, looks like he is a I don't know. Redskins are a mess. I don't even know what to make of this move. Dwayne Haskins is one year at Ohio State. Looked impressive. But yeah, they're letting the reins off the rookie this year and see what he does, and hopefully can win Washington something, but we'll see. Oh, with that, I don't have much more else. Happy Saturday, everybody. I hope you enjoy your sports.
It's Bull City Sports Talk with Rob Mascio.